We got calls and messages about this next topic all the time. The number of people who are running and cycling outdoors who never bother wearing their masks despite passing other people. Professor Stephen Robbins recently took to social media to share his stories on how he's trying to get them to wear masks, but the message doesn't seem to be getting through to them. Professor Stephen Robbins joins me now on the line. I have a friend, Prof, that when he walks on the little path on Liggsbeek Parkway and he sees someone wearing without exercising without a mask, he generally shouts mass murderer or serial killer. I don't know if he gets the point across, but he makes a hell of a spectacle.
Yes, yeah. Thank you. Good morning, Lisa. The thing, I don't have that approach, but I have on quite a few occasions attempted to, as I'm running past, so there's not that much time to have a long conversation, but I've ask people why they don't have a mask. And one response I got quite recently was, well, I'm outside. I don't need a mask. If you're not comfortable, stay at home. So that got me thinking that, you know, what does that represent? What does it tell us? And, I haven't done extensive research on this, and I think there should be research on this topic. What are people actually thinking about this message that's become quite standard now across the world, that it's wearing a cloth mask actually can help significantly. It's not the same as a medical mask, but it certainly can reduce transmission. So it makes the other person safer.
But have we lost our altruistic ability to not only look after ourselves, but those around us? Because I understand the purpose of the mask is not necessarily to keep myself safe, but to keep those around me safe. And I don't know whether people, I know that message has gone out across, but I don't think people are absorbing that message or even considering I am doing this for you.
Yes. Now, I mean, that's precisely the point. So for some people, there's a sense that it's all about themselves. And I do try and question that with people. Sometimes as I'm running past them, I'll say, well, think about your parents or your grandparents, because of course there are different levels of risk here. So younger people think they're somehow immune, they're immortal, and they're tough, and it's often men, so there's a kind of sense of a particular type of rugged individualist masculinity that's at stake, so they're not thinking so much about the other. And I think an extreme version of this is in the United States, where the issue of the mask has become so politicized that it does, in fact, fit in with this ideology of rugged individualism, of liberty above everything else. So people feel that this is the state imposing on them, sometimes from the alt-right. They believe it's the deep state, it's authoritarian. And they have conspiracy theories about this. Fortunately, in South Africa, it's not as politicized as that. You don't have a president who is articulating that message. But there is something about having a more collective response. And I think in South Africa, we do have a legacy or tradition of Ubuntu. We do have collective traditions where people think beyond themselves. And that may have an impact, but there will still be individuals who don't see it in that way.
If we look at issues of comorbidities like TB, HIV, AIDS, these are more vulnerable members of society. But a person living in a working class community is far more likely to know someone living with HIV AIDS, living with a TB, than someone who is in the middle class and has the opportunity to run and jog in Newlands Forest. So if you're thinking about protecting others, there is this blindness, one could say, to people living with comorbidities like HIV, TB, and other lifestyle diseases.
Absolutely. And that is what really got me going, is that these people who are trying to assert their autonomy and to, you know, say that they have the freedom of choice. You know, I would, if I had more time, I would want to sit down and tell them, actually, we do live in the society where we have 7.7 million people living with HIV. Mm. We have 70,000 deaths from HIV per year, and then about 60,000 from TB. So this is the reality. Comorbidities, as you say, are very widespread, and then you have hypertension and so on. So a sensitivity to that, one would think would be there, but it's not. So for me, the mask is not only about preventing the transmission of the virus. It's also about signaling and understanding of the vulnerability of others. You know, so it has a symbolic aspect for me, and I think for others too. You know, perhaps when you're running outside, there's less of a chance of transmission, but you're passing people, and it's a basic, decent thing to do. You put on your mask.
It's like friends of mine who were one of the earlier contractors of COVID-19 had recovered, but this is now 2 months ago, but still wears a mask. And I asked him, well, your chances of contracting it again, we don't know the broad science, yes, of course, but you are now less likely to contracting it. And he said, but I still want to be an example. I still want to show people what the example is. And I thought that was a very, very important message. But Professor, is it also the messaging, the confused messaging? In the first few weeks of this pandemic, World Health Organization said, don't wear masks. And then all of a sudden, overnight, no, wear masks.
Yes.
And then now I see literature coming through that says, World Health Organization says, don't wear masks while exercising. I don't think there's been a clear single message on what the public should do.
Yes, initially there was confusion about ordinary cloth masks, homemade masks, and medical masks. So there was a fear that people would buy all these medical masks and, you know, frontline health workers were not able to access them. So that was the initial concern. But I think the message has changed, and now it's much clearer that, in fact, wearing a homemade mask, a bandana, a cloth really can help. You know, so this is becoming much clearer from WHO and others. And I think, you know, when you look at some of the statistics, if you compare Hong Kong and the U.S., and I know we're not talking here in terms of demographics because the populations are size is very different. But in Hong Kong, people did not even wait for the government to tell them or for health professionals to tell them to wear the mask. They'd experienced SARS before. It had become habitual. Mm. People took up the mask immediately, and you have 7 deaths and 1,200 cases. Even though people are taken to the streets to protest in these pro-democracy rallies, nonetheless, the mask is working in that context.
Just my final point, Professor, as a professor of social anthropology, you may have some insight into this. I also think that the wearing masks in public was something people do on a daily, habitual process in Southeast Asia, whether you're on a plane, whether you're walking the street. And I think many people saw that and almost saw the infiltration of Southeast Asian culture where they are. And I feel, I have nothing to prove this, but I feel people balked at that.
I think it shifted. The other day I walked down, I went for a run, in fact, along the promenade in Greenpoint, and I would say about 80 to 90% of people there had masks. I've been into Philippines and the townships there, and I've seen a lot of people wearing masks. And this was, a couple of weeks ago, when the food distribution was happening there. So I hear what you're saying, but I think people adapt, and there's a growing realization in many parts of the world that this could be around for a long time. And we've, you know, we've come to acquire all sorts of habits, and maybe we'll get into this one too.
Professor Stephen Roberts, Robbins, he is a professor at the Department of Sociology and Social Anthropology at Stellenbosch University. Glenn in Clan William, you want to add 2 cents to this?
Hi there, how's it? Sorry, I just was listening on the radio and I thought about it for a while, and the main symbol that I can point out is that I think that if you look at how the mask is worn and how people do not wear it, I think it's an indication of how deadly the virus actually is. That could make people angry and in an uproar, but I really do think that when fire really burns, then you're going to be scared of the fire. I don't think people are seeing the World War III scenario they thought was going to be seen. I don't think you see pictures of people dying like you do in World War III or II. I'm not the expert. I really don't have a very strong opinion about this, but just generally seeing how people gather and how they live, I think many people have an alternative opinion on this other than what the mainstream media gives you, and I think that is actually pushed down and suppressed. So I think the mask, just like we want people to wear it so that they can show that they're a law-abiding citizen, I think people have lost faith and trust in the authenticity of computer models and fear.
You should also wear the mask not because you are afraid, but you should also wear the mask to be part of the solution. 20 minutes.